unique opportunity to enter into the fire of devotional service in more than one way than one. Hopefully, the fire means when we go out on Padyatra, probably it'll be so hot that if you want to lose some weight, it's a great opportunity. The second opportunity, of course, is that Srila Prabhupada had, or Srila Rupa Goswami, has told us that there are five powerful activities that by performing them, even a modified devotee can experience transcendental ecstasy. Those five powerful activities are chanting the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worshipping the deities, serving the devotees, and living in a holy place. And certainly these activities, especially the chanting of the holy name, become very prominent while we're performing the Padyatra. His Grace Hare Krishna Das, who is a stalwart during the Padyatra in the chanting of the holy names. The advantage of that is that devotional service, according to Lord Krishna, is experienced according to how consistently and how enthusiastically we're performing it. The steadier our service is, that is, the more it becomes uninterrupted, the more we do it with enthusiasm, then the more Krishna gives us the intelligence how to perform it in such a way as to experience transcendental ecstasy. When we have an opportunity such as Padyatra, combined especially with book distribution and the chanting of the holy name, it gives the opportunity for so many devotees to experience a higher taste. And after all, although we may not be very much satisfied with our present level of devotional service, and indeed it would be rather problematic if we were satisfied with our present level of devotional service. If you're feeling dissatisfied with your present spiritual advancement, that's a very good sign. And in order to increase that level, to come to a higher level, we don't have to lament over our present level. What we have to do is perform some activities or activity which will give us a higher taste. It is not a question of doing some other activity. Sometimes devotees, they're thinking, oh, I've been in the movement for 20 years or 10 years or even 40 years, and I still haven't gotten a higher taste. I'm still not a pure devotee. Maybe there's something wrong with the process. Or maybe I should do something different. Maybe I'm just lacking some quality that I can learn from a improve yourself study on the internet or something like that. But actually what we're lacking is the depth of absorption in the holy name, the utilization of our intelligence in such a way as that we're able to understand how to penetrate into the higher realms of transcendental consciousness. But Krishna gives that intelligence not according to how many, you know, A's we got in college or according to how much weight we can lift. He gives it according to how steadily and how enthusiastically, or we could say how with care and attention we perform our devotional service. Obviously, one of the problems we have is we're attached to the mind. The mind is always going here and there, which is not really ultimately a problem. The problem is that we're going here and there along with the mind. And we think that there's nothing else to do because it's my mind. I can't disrespect the mind. The worst thing I can do is called mind aparad. My mind, my constant companion, will never forgive me if I neglect it, even for a moment. Or maybe a moment, but not too long. But if one is, for instance, constantly chanting the holy name, after a while, one forgets to pay attention to the mind for a little while. Of course, quickly we go back and we withdraw our consciousness away from the holy name back to the mind again. But somehow or another, by constantly hearing the holy name, after a while, we can't forget the holy name. It just reverberates in our consciousness. For instance, when Prahlad Maharaj was born, before his birth, as we know, his father was not a very good sadhaka. His father was not renowned for his devotional proclivities. But when he wanted to perform austerity so that he could conquer the universe, he went with his baby brother, Hiranyaksha, to the mountains. And he started to do his typical thing, you know, raising his hands, not to chant Hare Krishna, but to perform austerities to become God. And indeed, he was quite empowered. He was not an ordinary asura. He was able to stand there for a long time. But the demigods became very frightened, and therefore they went to Lord Brahma and told about the impending problem that's going to happen when Hiranyakashipu gains power in order to conquer the universe. They'd all be out of a job. Just imagine mass unemployment amongst the demigods. It's quite an economic problem. Therefore, Lord Brahma being sympathetic, but Narada Muni was there with Parvati Muni, and he said, "Don't worry, we have our plan." Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha were on the mountain. They were raising their hand, meditating. Two little sparrows appeared. The little sparrow is named, one of the names was, the little sparrow was Narada Muni, and the other is Parvati Muni. They have the ability to change their form. Deeply concentrating on becoming powerful, nothing would move Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, but suddenly they heard on the top of their, at the little sparrows were shouting out at the top of their lungs, "Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya." So Hiranyakashipu thought, well, these little birds, you know, we have to get rid of them. So he took a rock and threw it at them, and they flew away. Back to the meditation. Little birds flew back. "Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya." Hiranyakashipu picked up a rock, threw it at the little birds, they flew away. Back to meditation. A few moments later, "Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya." Hiranyakashipu turned to his little brother and said, "I think we chose the wrong day." They decided to go back to their palace, start their process the next day or in the future. But Hiranyakashipu's mind was so agitated, all he can think about was Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So he said, "Well, let me take a few drinks and enjoy tonight with my wife, and maybe I'll forget about it." But unfortunately, or fortunately, depending who you are, how you look at things, when he was enjoying with his wife, in his mind he was saying, "Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya." And because of that absorption in Krishna consciousness, Prahlad Maharaj was born. So if Hiranyakashipu could become temporarily an elevated devotee, forget about his mental proclivity, even that of trying to rule the whole universe, so what to speak of our poor little selves? How much we'll become overwhelmed by chanting the holy name if we go out and constantly hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, especially from the mouth of Hare Krishna. Certainly, we'll have to think about Krishna, and anyone who has to think about Krishna, gradually they'll start. Their mind will become absorbed in the holy name. Of course, one thing that happens when our minds become absorbed in the holy name, we forget about all our problems. Rupa Goswami says, don't go to the Jamuna. Because if you go to the Jamuna, you may see this black boy standing there holding a flute. And when he plays on his flute, you'll become so much enchanted that you'll forget about your society, friendship, and love. Namely, you'll forget about all your different anxieties. You might even become genuinely happy. So if you're not afraid of becoming genuinely happy, then join the Padyatra. And the result of that is that people will actually notice that not only we look different, but we look happy also. Generally, most people don't join the Hare Krishna movement or become interested in it because of our style of clothing. They don't think, wow, look at that futuristic style of wearing clothes. I should definitely become a Hare Krishna, and therefore I'll be up with the times or beyond the times. But people join the Hare Krishna movement because they see that the devotees are genuinely happy, free from anxiety, because after all, who but a crazy person would go out wearing with their bed sheets? A crazy person or a person who's in ecstasy and love of God. So when people see that, they become genuinely attracted also to the devotees to inquire about what we're doing. That inquisitiveness is the beginning of spiritual advancement. On one side, we get the opportunity to chant the holy name and to worship the deity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the deity of Kali Yuga. He appears when we're chanting Hare Krishna, and he appears also here. We have the Panchatattva. It would be nice if they actually come out with us, but in a different form. Not only is the deity here, but when the holy name is chanted, following the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, then they appear, and perhaps sometime in the future, we'll also get the transcendental vision to notice that not only Purnitai are there, but the whole Panchatattva has come out with us. Of course, we may become concerned that we didn't bring their cups and how we're going to change their clothes out here, but they'll actually be there, the whole Panchatattva. Therefore, Padyatra is also obviously deity worship because Gaurinitaya is coming. And then, as far as hearing the philosophy, on Padyatra there's Bhagavatam class and there's other opportunities to hear and chant about Krishna. It's more or less like an extended morning program that goes all day and sometimes into the night. It's a wonderful opportunity for preaching. And at the same time, people notice that there are Hare Krishnas. Sometimes in America, when we used to do book distribution, the devotees would go to different places all around America, and sometimes in different places, and people would think that the Hare Krishnas are everywhere. Even one time, a group of tourists, they were visiting America everywhere they went, every airport. They saw Hare Krishnas everywhere. They even went up to the North Pole, and there were some devotees there distributing books at the North Pole. And they said, you Hare Krishnas are everywhere. When you're trying to sell something, one of the suggestions made by Vaisasika Prabhu, an expert book distributor, is just show the book, or any salesman, he knows, just show what you're trying to sell. If you keep it hidden, no one knows about it, and they won't buy it. But if you keep on showing it, which is many times people spend company spend millions of dollars to become noticed. But we're very fortunate. We don't have to spend anything. We just have to go out with shaven heads, dhotis and saris, chant Hare Krishna and jump a few times, and everyone notices us. So this is the greatest opportunity for advertising the Hare Krishna movement. And since every year the devotees are going to a different place in Slovenia, probably people are thinking that they're all over Slovenia. Everywhere we look, we see the Hare Krishnas. That aspect is also there. Not only the five powerful processes, deity worship, and chanting the holy names, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, serving the devotees. Serving the devotees means especially hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, offering prasad and accepting prasad, revealing one's mind and confidence and inquiring confidentially. These are the six symptoms of love shared by the devotees. Padyatra is a full-time engagement of these different exchanges of love between the devotees. And at the same time, making the atmosphere into a spiritual atmosphere. The last of the five powerful processes is to live in a holy place. But by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever we go out and chant the holy name, distribute prasadam and transcendental literature, it turns the whole atmosphere into a holy place, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, and when he's here, the holy name is also manifested in the feelings of separation. And the whole atmosphere becomes not only like that of Navadvipa, but it becomes like that of Goloka Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming to Vrindavan. He was tricked by Lord Nityananda into coming to visit Mayapur. Suddenly, Lord Nityananda, first of all, said, "My dear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu," Lord Nityananda, "isn't it wonderful we've come to Vrindavan?" And Lord Nityananda said, "Yes, it's very nice. This is the Jamuna." Suddenly, Advaita Acharya appeared, and Advaita Acharya was on a boat. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Advaita Acharya, you also came to Vrindavan." Advaita Acharya said, no, this is not Vrindavan. We're in Navadvipa." Lord Chaitanya turned to Lord Nityananda and said, "You lied to me." Lord Nityananda said, "No." He said, "On this side, the river Jamuna is flowing, and on the other side, Ganges is flowing. This isn't the Jamuna." Lord Advaita Acharya, he said, "My dear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. When we go out and chant Hare Krishna and perform devotional service in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is to bring all of Krishna's children back to the spiritual kingdom, when we do that, then we're actually creating Vrindavan and Navadvipa wherever we're going." Therefore, this Sankirtan movement is the most auspicious movement. And the other thing about Padyatra is we're actually moving. You don't have to worry about the movements not going on. We're really moving. We're moving ahead. In every sense of the term. At the same time, everyone can participate. As that squirrel or spider, depending which Brahmayan you read, was helping Lord Ramachandra build the bridge all the way over to Lanka. Each one of us, we don't have to worry about what our position is. We don't have to worry about whether we're male or female, or whether we're young or old, whether we're sannyasis or grihasthas. Everyone is participating equally in the Padyatra. In this way, the devotees actually get to associate with each other, not simply passing each other and saying, how are you? I'm all right. Kako said, oh, go. Or, how are you? Oh, I can't. Let me tell you about all my problems. Finally, I got someone to tell me problems too. Let me fill your mind up with my problems. Pass them on to you too. It's an opportunity to hear and chant about Krishna amongst the devotees to inspire each other in the process of Krishna consciousness and therefore appreciate each other's services to Krishna, appreciate the devotees' realizations. Just the fact that the devotees have the opportunity to participate in such a opportunity for becoming Krishna conscious, there's appreciation for the administration, for the managers. They're not just getting us to wash the pots and to take out the garbage and to collect money for the temple. They're actually giving us a chance to hear and chant about Krishna, take prasadam, and do so many wonderful services for the lordships of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread this movement. Suddenly everyone becomes a preacher and is engaged in the Sankirtan movement. And everyone has an equal opportunity to do so. So in that way, and in unlimited ways, it's a very auspicious, it's the most auspicious opportunity that we could just perform one service during the day, just chant Hare Krishna. Generally we have kirtan for 20 minutes and then the kirtan ends, we hear the philosophy for a little while and then it's back to some other activity. Maybe we're working or maybe we have some service in the temple, but this is a much greater extended period of time where we're engaged in Krishna service, engaged in Krishna consciousness, and anyone who does it, although there is some austerity, which also adds to the flavor, we can see that we're not so much dependent on exactly where we have to sleep. Generally everyone's worried, what's going to happen to me? If I go out on this padyatra, for instance, in the Navadvipa Mandala Parikrama, the devotees go out, and there's no assurance exactly what class of accommodations they'll have. There's no five-star hotel that have been booked for the devotees on the Navadvipa Mandala. Maybe this five-star quality of West Bengal and it's called See the Stars at Night Hotel. Find your private bathroom out in the field. In that way, we can see that most of the worries we have are just a waste of time. Everyone's worried, where am I going to be able to sleep? Am I going to get something to eat? What's going to happen to me? So many different worries. But if one is living more simply, at least for some period of time, one will see that the sky doesn't fall down, the earth doesn't open up, we don't die from hunger, our bones don't crack on the ground. We start to notice that actually most of my worries are useless. I'm just wasting my energy, wasting my time, wasting my life, worrying about things that have no reality to them. Or if they do have some reality, it's not very significant. That very quickly we can get used to another lifestyle. Many devotees, they find that they're every day they're in, you know, getting up from the same bed. They're attached to the same bed. They get up in the morning and their main attachment is to their bed. They can't give up that attachment. The alarm clock goes off and they smash the alarm clock, trying to destroy my attachment, my bed. So one will see that actually this attachment is not very significant, that we can live without these attachments, be happy, be Krishna conscious, make others Krishna conscious, fulfill the desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Srila Prabhupada and his followers, do something significant for this unfortunate situation we find ourselves in Kali Yuga, that many people find themselves. And this way become inspired and once we get a little inspired, once we get a little taste, once we get a little inspiration, that will last not only for that period of time, but it'll last for this lifetime and perhaps even more lifetimes. Once we get a hard taste, then one will never be able to forget it. One will simply remember that again and again and again and make further and further progress. So thank you. Padiatra, keep